Oh, Christmas. We like Christmas for many reasons. Children wait with anxious anticipation to unwrap the gifts under a tree. Some enjoy the decorations, the lights, the sounds, the music. Others enjoy the adventure of a shopping trip. I don't know why, but they do. Everyone enjoys a little time off from school or work if it's granted to them. Time with family and friends is always something to look forward to, and who doesn't enjoy a good piece of mincemeat pie
Amen.
And an eggnog milkshake
Amen.
This time of year, right? But there's something more about Christmas that we enjoy. There's something about Christmas that captures our imagination, inspires wonder. And we're going to see it in our text tonight in Luke chapter number 1, if you'll turn your attention there to Luke chapter number 1. And I want you to slow down tonight. I want you to look at this with fresh eyes. I want you to see this story. Don't assume you know it, because there's a chance you might miss the big idea that I think God wants us to see tonight. So if you find yourself in Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, let me know you're there by saying amen.
Amen.
Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Notice her first response there, troubled. And it cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, I'm not going to elaborate much on this, but it's worth noting that when Matthew gives his perspective, he adds the definition of the name Jesus. Why is he named Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah saves, and aren't you glad he still does?
Amen.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long?
Forever.
He reigns eternally. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And with that one verse, it summarizes everything that we've been reading through verse number 26 till now. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And here's Mary's response. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, we like Christmas for a lot of reasons, but it's the reminder that God is still in the business of accomplishing the impossible that gives life its hope.
Amen.
For all the things that may have gone wrong this year or through the course of a life, we get a fresh glimpse at the end of every year that God is still doing the impossible. God become a man? Impossible. A virgin giving birth to a son? Impossible. A Savior who could deal and forgive all of my sin debt? Impossible. But with God, nothing
Amen.
Shall be impossible. Amen. You can call it an interruption if you want to. But God tapped humanity on the shoulder and interrupted the earth in the form of a baby. We call it Christmas. Think about it. Christianity was born with one big heavenly interruption. Just ask Mary. I mean, she was planning a wedding. She was planning on the friends that would invite us, the festive, the celebrations that's going to be surrounding this in Jewish culture. Weddings are no small thing. Family and friends would come from afar. She was putting it all together in her mind. She was dreaming it all up. But now what? Now what are they going to think of her? I mean, to be with child before marriage isn't really going to go over well with the family, not with her kin. I mean, this can ruin everything. Just because you want a calm life doesn't mean you're going to get one. The financial aid office says no. The doctors say pregnant. The auto mechanic says totaled. Your boss says we're downsizing. And our typical response is really the same. Fear. It's funny that we often assume the worst before we're looking for the best. God interrupts our lives with something we've never seen. And rather than praise, we panic. Rather than pray, we pout. It's a good thing Mary didn't run. She didn't run away from the turmoil. In fact, we can learn a lesson from her response in Luke chapter 1, verse number 38, when she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She's basically saying, "God, here am I. I'm your handmaid. Whatever you say, my life is yielded to who you. I know who you are. And I'm yielded to that." This Christmas, this year, when God interrupts life, I hope you'll look for His hand. I hope you'll trust Him. And I hope you'll remember Mary. And let life's biggest interruptions grow your faith. So, let's personalize this. How's life been interrupted for you lately? In 2024, how's life been interrupted? Sometimes there's interruptions that impact the masses. Things like elections or wars, financial crashes, pandemics. At other times, life is interrupted and you're the only one who knows it. Have your hopes or dreams been altered? Your plans need to change because life didn't go the way that you think? Can I just encourage you from the text today, being reintroduced to the God of the impossible by faith? Don't assume the worst. Learn a lesson from Christmas. Suppose we could consider many stories, but one that came to my mind was one that unfolds in Germany years ago at a concentration camp. A lady that you may know of, her name was Corrie Ten Boom, and her sister Betsy. They lived in terrible conditions during World War II in this German concentration camp. And at this labor camp that they were crammed into these sleeping barracks, the beds were made of hay, and they said it was the perfect thriving place for lice and fleas. And Corrie wondered how they could endure such an awful place, and Betsy prayed and reminded her sister what they had read that morning. She said, "Corrie, remember in everything, give thanks," 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So they started to list the things that they could give thanks for. They had thanked God for the Bible that they were able to smuggle in to their barracks. They thank God for the packed room that they lived in. They thank God for the Bible studies that they were able to have. And after mentioning several things that they were thankful for, Corrie Ten Boom's sister, she thanked God for the fleas. And Corrie was dumbfounded. How can you thank God for the fleas? And several weeks later, one of the supervisors was called to their barracks to settle some issues. However, the supervisor refused to enter because of the fleas. And this is why they had so much freedom in their barracks. Freedom to pray. Freedom to read their Bible. Freedom to teach about Jesus. Freedom from the harassments that would come from the guards. They never did enter. And because of the fleas and the lice, neither the supervisor nor the guards would be willing to enter. And it's when that moment when Corrie realized how she could be thankful even for the fleas. But our problem is we only see the fleas. But there's a God who in His perfect wisdom is behind everything. Amen. What's shaking your plans? What's made you want to throw in the towel on God? What's made you want to run? and away from your faith. Rest in your Father. Trust Him. God knows. And just don't assume the worst. This is a choice then. This is a choice that we make. A choice of how we're going to view these interruptions. Some folks, they never learn how to make lemonade from the life, from the lemons that life deals. Interruptions are often opportunities to see God at work. Our trials that we would never choose for ourselves are stepping stones, or at least they can be, of faith. 1 Peter reminds us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And He's telling us here that there's a joy, an exceeding joy, that wouldn't come any other way but through a trial. So are you willing to look at the setbacks with new hope? You should. And you can. These are the lessons that we can learn from the Christmas story. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I remember years ago now when I was an assistant pastor at Wooden Valley Baptist Church. Christy and I, we were out of town. Actually, her brother TJ was getting married, and we were on our way back from the wedding and got the news. Mrs. Farinella, my pastor's wife, she had passed away from cancer in her early 40s. And I remember wondering, how would my pastor respond to this? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen in the life of the church? And I watched how he continued to serve. And I watched how he continued to preach and be faithful. And I watched as the church continued to grow. But how could God allow the church family to lose a pastor's wife? And she's just in her early 40s. There's questions that are going to come that we're not going to be able to answer. But through it all, I can say I saw the faith of how a man dealt with that trial. And the church was strengthened because of that. There's been numerous times that Christy and I, we've talked about our own faith. And she says a very similar story about watching what happened with her dad when at the age of seven or eight, her biological mother passed away at a very young age. But she saw her father's faith and how God's hand was in that, bring Miss Cynthia, Christy's mom, into the picture. I'm just saying, interruptions happen, don't they? But we have a choice. We have a choice like Mary did. Of all the plans that she was making and all the dreams that were unfolding, her and Joseph being married, all of that was now scrapped. There's no way you're going to change this. And yet her response was, "God, behold your handmaid. Be it unto me exactly how you say." What a lesson to learn. I'd say God interrupted a few things at Centralia Bible Baptist Church this year. He's interrupting things. But how you respond matters. It's crucial to your spiritual life. It's crucial to your family's spiritual life. It's crucial how you respond to the interruptions that God gives. You can throw in the towel. You can walk away from your faith. But you might be given up before a miracle unfolds. Amen. And there's just something about a Christian at any stage of their Christian life that can be able to say, "I don't know what God's doing, but I know He's too good to be doing something evil and wicked to me. And He's too wise to allow something bad that's going to be evil. God, if this is going to be for your glory, then here's your handmaid. Be it unto me as thy will." So what's interrupted your life? How are you going to take it? How are you going to see it? I want you to look at Mary. I want you to learn a lesson. I want you to be able to walk out of here tonight. Just let her prayer be yours. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." How would the story have unfolded if she would have quit and thrown in a towel? Yeah. How would yours? Yeah. How would your life story change? By by giving up, by quitting. Perhaps you've got word from the doctor that you haven't shared with anyone yet, and it's not good news. Perhaps Murphy, this Christmas, has caught you with too much month at the end of your paycheck, and you find yourself in that kind of a situation. Perhaps this year you found yourself with some failed relationships. But failure isn't final unless you let it. Yeah. Restoration is possible.
Amen.
With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Yeah.
Perhaps all you see is fleas. Hey, it's Christmas. And at the end of every year, we get the reminder.
Amen.
We serve a God who's still in the business of doing the impossible. What a mighty God we serve. Look with me and let's read it together. Luke chapter 1, verse number 37 as we close. Ready, begin. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Father, tonight, as we would conclude this service, we've heard the songs, we've looked to your word, we've been reminded, and I hope with fresh eyes and a new mind, renewed mind, that you are still doing the impossible. A virgin gave birth. You came to this earth. The sin debt has been paid. You did the impossible. I couldn't pay the sin debt. I couldn't produce a Savior. I couldn't do any of that. And so God, thank you. Thank you for the truth that we heard unfold in song, and I pray that you'd help our hearts even respond in worship now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the piano plays, let's go ahead and stand. If you want to just come and spend some time before the Lord in worship and praise Him that He's still the God who works the impossible. The altar is open. You can come. You can pray however God sees fit.
Search me, O God, and humble my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray, see if there be some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name.
God, you are good all of the time. Even when it doesn't seem like it, it's still true. You're good. And how many times I can even think when I didn't trust that fact, and yet maybe weeks, months, or years later, realizing you were in control the whole time, and I worried for no reason. I was anxious for no reason. And so I thank you for having some insight into the thoughts and the words of Mary and how life was so interrupted and turned upside down. And the fear of man could have prevailed, and yet it did not in her life. And I thank you for her faith, that example of faith. And so encourage us as we go this Christmas day. God, give us a fresh view of you, high and lifted up, sovereign and in control, a loving God who gives direction. Amen. And so, God, let us trust, grow our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, with that said, it really concludes our Christmas service, but the night's young. You can hang out and fellowship as long as you want. So I want to appreciate and thank Olympia Bible Baptist for coming on out. And Centralia, everybody, man, you did such a good job. Now, so good. So good. Love the music tonight. So good. So good. Okay. And there's cake that's been made by somebody. Is it?